We bless you, Lord. We bless you. In Malachi chapter 3, and starting at verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you for what? Judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. And we've shared a little bit about this already, about the messenger. The messenger. And in this, the messenger is carrying a message. And what he's bringing revelation. He's bringing rhema. Are you hearing? Revelation is what you see now, what God is showing you now. And rhema is what God is saying right now. Now listen, this is important because we really need to get this. And what's he bringing? He's bringing repentance. He's bringing refining. He's bringing cleansing. He's bringing renewal. And he's bringing refreshing. In other words, he's bringing a great awakening. And that's what's going on right now. Remember, I share with you the Spirit would keep us informed of what's happening. Keep us up to date. And there's a great awakening coming, and we're in it already. And it's going to continue to flow. He's awakening. He's awakening people who've been asleep. He's awakening people who've been dead. He's awakening them right now in a mighty way. Now, remember, Elijah, right? Came, right? John the Baptist came. Jesus came. And then the Spirit of Christ came. Now listen. John the Baptist was in the spirit of what? Elijah. Jesus was in the spirit of the Lord, and you and I are in the spirit of Christ now. See, so we are the messengers. We are the forerunners. Does everybody understand that? And in this, God right now is awakening. He's pouring out. So what he's saying, in you, the Spirit of Christ, I'm going to use to awaken my people. That's why he's pouring out mightily right now. Mightily. So we had the spirit of Elijah, right? The spirit of the Lord and the spirit of Christ, which is happening right now. There is a great awakening going on all over. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus desires no one to perish. It's unfortunate that people have to be awakened through disaster sometimes, you know. But when there's a spiritual outpouring and an awakening there, there's usually disasters going on. Even when 9/11 happened, there was an outpouring going on. People were getting saved and all kinds of things, beginning to fill in churches, but then it didn't last. The fear of God didn't maintain. And now God's doing it again, and he's pouring out. He's pouring out. And in this, if you look globally, look at all the disasters that are happening all over the world. Greater than ever before. And the Bible tells us about this, that there be earthquakes, famines, all kinds of things going on, and it's happening even greater right now, but God is pouring out a spirit greater also. Remember, the Spirit told us in 2008 that there would be three floods, and those would be attacks from the enemy. But your greatest battles will be this year, but your largest victories. And he also said it would be the greatest harvest ever. And it's happening. It's happening. You're in it. We're in it. And we want to stay sensitive to the things of God in every area. So there is a great awakening going on right now. Go to Luke 4, please. in verse 18. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking. Because he is what? He is what? Did you notice he didn't say anything else except for what? The Spirit of the Lord. Jesus came to awaken those who were asleep and dead. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set to liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and his eyes, all the eyes of all were in the synagogue, were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? That's what people are saying about you now. Aren't you such and such child? Man, what happened to you? What's going on? See, this is awakening. People are being awakened by what God is doing in you. And then they're going to want what God is doing in you. Aren't you such and such daughter or son? Or weren't you one of those addicted boneheads out there? Weren't you a thief and a liar? Come on, man. Weren't you one of these? I remember you. You remember, the world's still waiting for you to go back to where you used to be, you know? But see, you've been awakened. You've been changed. And the Spirit of the Lord is now on you. And the Spirit of Christ dwells within you. And he goes on to say, and he said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of who? Elijah. When the heavens were what? Shut up 3.5 years. And there was a great famine throughout all the land. Now this famine was not only physical, but it was spiritual. Even though Elijah was there, God shut up everything. The heavens were shut. It just says it right here, right? Heaven was what? Shut up. Not only did it not rain and there was a famine physically, but there was a famine spiritually. And only the Lord sent Elijah to certain people. But none of them was Elijah sent except for Zephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. And then many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet. And none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. And over that cliff is known as Armageddon. So where they were going to throw him, Jesus is going to bring them. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Are you hearing? Now the Spirit of the Lord, he said. Remember, it's the Spirit of God that brings the awakening. Now, understand that there was a famine, wasn't there? People were asleep. Because when God is not moving, when there is not revelation, when there is not rhema, people sleep. They become dead. And that's one of the things that the devil and the powers of darkness try to do to God's children. He tries to put them asleep. He tries to put them asleep so that they die, so that they miss things, what God is trying to do. He tries to entangle them in the affairs of the world and get themselves all busied up so they miss what God is doing. He tries to cause them to become men pleasers instead of God pleasers. And they become asleep. And they don't even know that they're sleeping. They have no idea. They can't be sensitive to the voice of God nor to the presence of God anymore because they've grown dull. Their hearts have become hardened. And their fulfillment is no longer in the presence of God. It's in the world. how much material, how much they can accomplish. Do you understand? And even in works, even in ministry, people can become dry bones, become asleep. They may go out and help people and feed and clothe and whatever, but they themselves are dry and asleep. And they're in a routine instead of a relationship. And that's why the awakening must come. It must come. You must allow God to awaken you. That's why you must stay thirsty and hungry for His presence. See, nothing else matters but His presence. That's it. That's why we worshiped a little longer. Man, I could have worshiped all night. I want more. I want more. It's not how much you know, it's who you know. And you'll know Him in His presence. And the more you hang out with Him in His presence, you become more like Him. Go to Luke 15. So the messenger is sent by the Spirit of God to awaken His people. Are you understanding that? In Luke 15 and verse 11, then He said, a certain man had two sons, and a young of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me, that falls to me. So he divided them his son's livelihood. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together. He journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possession with prodigal living. In other words, with worldly living. Everybody knows this. But when he spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. Hello, here we go again with the famine. Why? Because he was relying on what he worked for. And what happened? He became dry. And a famine came in the land. And he began to be in what? Want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. What happened to him? He fell asleep. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. See, when people begin to sleep, they begin to die. Death begins to surround them. They begin to, you know, when somebody, the parish is a representation of decaying. They begin to decay because the world begins to engulf them. He was dead and now alive. You know, many have fallen asleep. Does everybody understand that? Many, many people that were once, I mean, you know, you can go across almost all over and you could talk to someone, and most of them are backslidden believers or have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior somewhere along the line and are back out into the world because the enemy slipped in and caused them to sleep. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5. In verse 8, let's read it together. For you were what? Once dark, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have what? No fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Why? Why would you want to do that? Because they'll cause you to what? Sleep. Do you understand? Sleep. You know, people don't just go to sleep. You know, hey, I'm going to sleep. It'd be nice. Maybe my wife does that once in a while. I mean, that girl can sleep quick, you know? Honey, I'm going to bed. But for me, it takes a little while. You know, I don't count sheep or anything like that. But, and if I start praying in the Holy Ghost, then I get back up. So I got to, you know. But I talk to the Lord or whatever. And, but it takes a little bit of time, you know, just to, you start to drift off, you know. And then all of a sudden, whew, you're in la-la land. And you're either fighting a demon, casting out a devil, or, you know, you're being attacked in every way that can be, right? Or you're having some wonderful, peaceful dreams in the Lord. Or God is telling you things to come. You know, knowledge is revealed at night. There's things that are imparted in you while you're asleep. You only remember a speck, if you can remember it at all. Amen? But there's so many things that are imparted in you. Because your spirit is communicating with God. In the spirit realm. And it's the same thing the way the enemy works. He just doesn't come in and say, sleep! I'm talking about spiritually sleep. He slowly creeps in. That's why he moves like that. You know, tries to weasel his way around. He slowly creeps in. And he plants one little seed. It's like a spiritual sleeping pill. He gives you a little chip at a time. And next thing you know, you're not where you used to be. And you're wondering, how did I get here? And he calls you to sleep. But God is rescuing. He's moving. He's awakening. So that those who are asleep and perishing come alive. They come alive. Let's go a little further. In verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, what? Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will what? Give you light. Did you ever talk to somebody, you know they're a believer, but they just don't get it? It's like, come on, man. You've been a believer how long? And you don't get it? It's like some people are still walking half asleep. Because they can't get the things of the Spirit. And even though they may have the Spirit, but they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them. They're still trying to control the Spirit instead of the Spirit control them. And in that, they begin to get dull. And they can quote scriptures, but they can't obey them. They don't have the dominion. It's like they lack authority in the spirit. They let people sway them in any way they can. They become more soulish instead of more spirit. Does everybody understand? Because remember the thing that they said about Jesus? They said, man, what authority he spoke with. Well, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He came with authority. He came with dominion. He came with power. He didn't take no garbage, did he? That's why he called them hypocrites and everything else. Jesus was not a wimp. He wasn't a wimp. Praise God. Let's go on further. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. But be what? Be what? Be what? Be what? Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking what? To one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of God or the reverence of God. Now he gives you the answer. He says, listen, man, you were once Gentiles going this. You were caught up in darkness, right? You were asleep, awake. What's he tell you how to wait? Get filled. Don't get drunk on the goofy stuff. Remember, I saved the best wine for last. Get drunk on the right stuff. The heavenly wine. The heavenly wine. He tells us right here. This is why the awakening is going on. What's he saying? Awake, you who sleep. That's why revival comes. It's to revive. It's to revive. And return to the fear and the reverence of God that's in his presence. Let's go a little further. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 1. So if you have fellowship with darkness, what begins to happen? You begin to fall asleep. In verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says, that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. These are powers of darkness. A deceiving spirit is a demon, okay? And people are going to fall from the faith. They're going to fall from doing the will of God. It didn't. Now let me share with you. These are people that are not saying that they're not believers. These are people that are saying they are believers. But they're falling from the will of God. They're doing their own thing now, taking heed to deceiving spirits, familiar spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So he said, many are going to fall from the faith. How are they going to fall from the faith? They're going to become what? Sleepy. They're going to become sleepy. Has everybody got it? Listen. When people begin to fall asleep, they get taken and become captive of the devil, right? Adam and Eve fell asleep by disobedience. Think about what happened. And then the tree of life was removed, wasn't it? Spiritual life. When they disobeyed God, they took heed of the voice of the stranger. Well, she did. And then he took heed of the voice of his wife. And the whole place fell. And what happened? Their eyes were shut to the spiritual realm and open to the natural realm. So they fell asleep. Spiritual death was now imparted. Does everybody get it? Now they could no longer live forever, could they? And they were removed from the tree of life. See, because the only way you can maintain spiritual life is to eat from the tree of life. It's called the tree of righteousness. Other than that, they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why good people think they're going to heaven. Because they're asleep. Well, I'm a good person. Come on, man. I give to the poor. I do this. I do that. The Bible tells us that only those who are doing the will of God will get in. But it's not about the circumstance of getting in heaven. It's about keeping people awake so they can do the will of God. Because time is running out. Time is greatly running out. There is an urgency. That's why God is pouring out his spirit. There's revivals breaking out all over the place. Why? To wake up the body of Christ so that others of the unsaved can see what God is doing in them and they'll want what you have. They'll want what you have. But many have fallen asleep. Many have fallen from the faith in doing their own will and not God's will. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The Great Awakening. In verse 33, what does it say? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Oh, hallelujah. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God, and this I speak to their shame. Wow, awake to righteousness. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. So once there's an awakening, we must continue to come to the end of ourself. Hello. Once there is the awakening, we must continue to come to the end of ourself. So we continue to eat from the tree of life. The purpose of the awakening is so that the child of God is awakened, not self. The purpose of the awakening is so that self can get put to death. So now our continuous walk is always coming to the end of ourself in every area of our life, no matter what it is. Once you've been awakened, you want to stay awake because self will put you to sleep. It'll move you right out. 1 Peter 5. Be drunk not on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, a wonderful awakening. 1 Peter 5:8. What does he say? Be what? Be what? Be sober. You think that means be awake? Yeah. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? Can devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he first tries to get you to become sleepy. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a little, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So you're going to go through it. You know, sometimes circumstances is the only thing to keep people awake. God knows. Man, if I don't keep this person in a circumstance, I'll lose them. I got to always keep them in want of me. God always keeps us in want of him. You know that? No matter what's going on. Because nothing else is going to satisfy you but his presence. His touch. His filling. His revelation. To see what he shows you that day. To hear what he's telling you that day. That's why we go to him every morning. And then we start our day by surrendering all, asking him to be filled with his spirit. And at some point in time, the Lord is going to speak to you and show you something every single day. Every day. Why? To keep you awake. Keep you. See, that's why we go, hallelujah! Hallelujah! You walk around, you be in the store, all of a sudden you hear, hallelujah! What are you doing? I'm making contact, man. I'm just making contact. I'm all right. I'm okay. Hallelujah! Come out! No problem. Just clearing the way. Praise God. I love walking up near people and just go, hallelujah! They got awoke. Hallelujah. How you doing today? Hallelujah. What are you doing, man? Making contact. Touch heaven. False delusions. False expectations. Daydreamers. New age movement will really put you to sleep, let me tell you. Occult. Witchcraft. Religion. Those are all things that put people to sleep, don't they? Because they can't receive truth. You have to tie them up and hallelujah them to death. Everybody just get around them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, come out, come out. Hallelujah, hallelujah, come out. 1 Thessalonians 5. Hallelujah. Glory. So when the officer pulls you over for speeding, you roll down the window and you go, hallelujah. Don't say, come out. Ha ha. Because you'd be out real quick. You'd be doing a butt ministry. Butt. Verse 1, would you read it with me? But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not what? Sleep. Let us not get sleepy as others do, but let us what? Watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Praise God, we get drunk all day. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are doing. Now go to Daniel 12. Now he talks here about two deaths, two awakenings. Because there's that spiritual awakening, isn't there? Then there's the eternal awakening. There's that spiritual death, and then there's that eternal death of separation. And then there's that place where there's the good death, which is that you're constantly coming to the end of yourself, which is keeping you awake. And Daniel chapter 12, is everybody there? If you sense that you're getting tired, just look around the room. If your neighbor's getting tired, you know, if you see sleepiness start to come upon him, just nudge him a little bit, you know. Say, hey, I'm just going, hallelujah, right in the right next to him. Hallelujah. They'll get up quite quickly. You may even find in a manifestation of them praying in the Holy Spirit. Verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of firmament. And those who turn away, turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Many will run to and fro. Many are running right now to and fro. People are really seeking God, but in different directions. And the devil is coming in so many different areas and religions and all kinds of stuff. You know, now Oprah Winfrey's got her own religion, you know. You know. It's not Oprah Winfrey. What's it? How do you say her last name? Winfrey? It's Windbound. It's no more Winfrey. She's windbound, let me tell you. In Joel chapter 1. In other words, everyone is going to awake to judgment. There is no escaping that. The day you die, people awake to judgment, don't they? In fact, the day that your last breath comes out, you're either going, the demons are going to come and get you, or the angels are going to come and get you. Because that's the day your name is either stays in the book or erased from the book. In Joel chapter 1 and verse 5, would you read it with me, please? Awake, you drunkards! And weep and wail, all you drinkers of polluted wine, because of the what? new wine. What's he saying, man? Get rid of that, will you? Come on, it's time to awake with the new wine. Why do you want to sleep with the old wine? For it has been cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste of my vine and ruined my fig tree. He's talking about Israel. And he has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. In other words, they're dying. Why? Because they're drinking of the worldly wine and they're missing a new wine. And the worldly wine is a false fulfillment. They're falling asleep. The devil puts delusions in them, false promises. And eventually they fade and are perished. But God is pouring out his Spirit. We are part of this great awakening right now. It is important that you know where you are, what you're doing. Avoid every area of the enemy trying to put you to sleep. At all cost, it doesn't matter. Because everyone's going to awake right before him. I always tell people, why wait to stand before him and be judged? Stand before him now. Better do it now than later. At least you got an opportunity. If you escape, then there is no opportunity. Chapter 2, verse 28. So he said, this is what he's going to do. He says, and after this, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I'm glad I still see visions. Yeah, I still have dreams too. And also my men servants and all my maid servants, and I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So God is pouring out his Spirit, isn't he? For what? To awaken. That's what the purpose is. To wake those who have fallen asleep. To refresh those who have labored. You know, the greatest reward you and I can have is his presence. And to know that you are pleasing him. That's great. Lord, I want to know if I'm pleasing you. And all of a sudden, touch. And you melt. Something happens. See? He wants you to have a desire of his presence. That's why the Bible says those who thirst and hunger for his righteousness will be filled. We are there right now. The awakening is happening. It's going to continue to happen because the Lord is going to come through the body of Christ first before he physically comes. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. The awakening in the Spirit is to see, to hear, and to rescue. Everyone repeat that with me. The awakening of the Spirit is to what? See, hear, and rescue. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Ignorant. I do not want you to ignore. I don't want you to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. You know what a gift is? It's called a tool. Okay? Those are tools. The gifts of the Spirit are tools. Everybody say they're tools. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. In other words, you and I were Gentiles at one time working the wrong tools. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now remember, the gifts of the Spirit are tools. And this comes with the awakening also, because God begins to pour out his Spirit in a powerful way and desires that you begin to use the tools. Why? Because it's like a shovel. Remember, we're grave diggers. We're going to go around and dig up all those who've been buried alive. They're kicking and screaming in their coffins. They have fallen asleep by the powers of darkness. And God wants to send his children to dig them up, dress them with the armor, fill them up, and send them out. See, so the tools, if you know what's going on right now, how are the tools being used? Healings, deliverance, words of knowledge. Does everybody understand that? Well, the Spirit is being manifested, isn't he? And people are getting saved. Those who were asleep are now awakening. All of these things are beginning to happen. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge, the same Spirit to another faith, the same Spirit to another gifts of healings, by the same Spirit to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In other words, if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, every gift is in you. Every tool that is needed to rescue the lost, to be a sign and wonder, is in you. Because you are now the messenger. The Spirit of Christ is in you. That's why the Bible says he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the gifts are in you. But see, the devil loves to put to sleep the gifts that are in you. He doesn't want you to use the gifts. And the Spirit's always trying to unction you. He's trying to get you to that place. You know, so many people have the gift of tongues, they don't even pray in tongues enough. Only when they come to church. That's it. They don't pray in the Spirit. He wants you to use the gifts. Why? You're going to stir yourself up so you can use the rest of the gifts. So you can be sensitive. So you can get filled. So you can hear. Get words of knowledge. Spirit will come to you and give you counsel every morning. Show you what's going on. If you'll let him. If you'll just let him. The awakening is about pouring out the Spirit. How did people get awakened in Jesus' time? They saw miracle signs and wonders, didn't they? The Bible even tells us that the gift of tongues is for those who, it's a sign for what? The unbeliever. I love going to places sometimes and just ripping off in the Holy Ghost. People look at you and go, man, what'd you say? I look right at him and go, Ba-ka-ra-ba-ko-sia. My mind is going, come out, you foul and clean spirit. But I know I'm not praying that all the time. You know? Lord, rescue that person. Whatever need, visit that person. So you pray in the Spirit. It's a sign. Some people come up to you and ask you to pray for them eventually. It's a sign. And Psalm 17. Don't let him dull your senses and prevent you from moving in the gifts. Now, you know, all things are done decently in order. So when we all get together, I want everybody starting to do all kinds of goofy things and get granolaized. We do things in order. But when you're out on the street, just do it, man. When you're out there, just do it. Don't worry about it. Just go to work and just, you know, do it. You know, prophesy. Prophesy before you get there. Ask the Lord to send the angels, bind the powers of... You know, most people don't even know spiritual warfare. They don't bind no devil. They don't do nothing. They just walk into a place and expect God to move. Doesn't always work that way. Does it? The Bible says, take the land, take the heavenlies by force. In Psalm 17 and verse 13, arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. With your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I what? Awake in your likeness. See, the awakening is to bring you in his likeness. Does everybody understand? That's why God is doing this right now. He's trying to bring you in his likeness, in his character, in his image. So you begin to act like he acted. Speak like he spoke. And it's not these, those, and thous, okay? He spoke the oracles. He spoke truth. He didn't take no garbage. When it was time to cast out devils, he cast out devils. When it was time to lay hands on the sick, he laid hands on the sick. When it was time to preach, he preached the gospel of truth. When it was time to pray, he prayed. Does everybody understand? Why? He was manifesting the kingdom of God. The world needs to see the kingdom. It's the purpose of the awakening. It's a great awakening going on right now. In Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. He says, as you go, preach, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. That's what he's talking about, the awakening. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Why? Because they're the ones who are sleeping. We're burying the ones who are slept. They overslept. He said, awaken them. You know, after my encounter with the Lord, it was like, I used to cry sometimes and say, Lord, I thank you for awakening the sleeper. Thank you for awakening the sleeper. Because I was asleep. I was dead. I was headed on the way to hell and I didn't even know it. We were asleep. And we were awakened. Anybody ever see Matrix? What pill do you want? You want to stay in fairy tale land? Or do you want the truth? See, the devil loves to use sleepers. They're like sleepwalking. Their whole focus is a part of the world for fame, success, and to be somebody. See, but we were predestined to somebody. You don't have to be somebody, you already are. And now we want to let everybody else know that they're somebody. They need to awaken. Sometimes you need to use the Holy Ghost baseball bat, you know? Hallelujah! Come out. It's time. Wake up. It's time that the sleeper be awakened. Raise the dead. When he says raise the dead, that's what he's talking about. Those who are dying because they're asleep. In Mark 16, what does it say? In Mark 16, in verse 17. 16:17. And these signs will follow those who are awake. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. It doesn't mean you're going to go out and siphon gas and test God. Because you're going to die. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Those are for the ones who are awake. How many of y'all awake now? If you've fallen asleep, come on up here. Again, people have been awakened in the wrong arena. They've been awakened in a sense to want to be awakened by disasters. There, you know, we know right now there's floods, there's hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. All kinds of things are happening for people to get awake. You know, even though that people are hearing it here in the United States, and they're seeing things happen here in the United States, but in other countries, there's disasters even worse than here. But we've had so many floods here, it's been phenomenal. There are people that are still homeless. Destruction. Famine. All kinds of things going on. You know, people who hear these things, it begins to stir them up so that they can have a desire to want to be awakened and be grateful. Now let me share something with you, that the heavens are open to us. The Bible says, seek him while he may be found. The awakening that's going on here in Florida right now is an opportunity. The heavens are opened. Seek him while he may be found. Go to Acts 3, please. In verse 11. Acts 3, verse 11. Is everybody okay? Okay. We want to know where we are, don't we? Don't let the devil put you to sleep. In verse 11, would you read it with me, please? Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, So wait a minute. The lame man that was healed. That was a gift, wasn't it? It was a tool that was manifested. This man was lame and he got healed. And everybody saw and wondered. Many people came to the Lord, didn't they? And all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murder to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent!" So what we see, a sign, a tool manifested, and what was he bringing? Repentance. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of" what? "Refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." So we see here that there is refreshing in his presence by repentance. By repentance. That's why Jesus went around and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And I want to close in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Let's read it together. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The Great Awakening. It's happening. We're here. Get in it. Carry it. And use the tools to dig up those who've been buried alive. It's time. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we began to fall asleep. We repent and we return to our first love, our call, to fulfill those things that you've asked us to fulfill. We ask, Father, continue to visit us in dreams and visions, and those things exposed that would try to cause us to sway in sleep. But we ask, Master, that you keep us in the place where we're constantly coming to the end of self, and show us those things that cause us to stumble. Lord, keep your light so shining in us and through us, and keep us hungry for you. And everywhere we've fallen short, bring us to that place that we're constantly pleasing you and giving glory to Jesus. And to him be all the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Hallelujah!